He gave it all. We owe him everything. I like when the songs fit with the message, amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee," or helped thee. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." We're going to be focusing on verses 3 through 10 tonight. In verse number 4, "But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet alway rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." Let's pray tonight and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word. I am unworthy to do so, but I'm so grateful for the opportunity, and I ask that you would use me tonight to help your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have the Pipers back there in the sound booth, and I was talking to them before the service, and me and Brother Josh made a deal. And the deal is, anytime somebody looks at the clock, he's going to add 5 minutes. So don't look at the clock. I should be quick. I say that, but I have 5 pages of notes and of a list of about 20 things here that Paul talks about. So if you're ready to go, say amen. Now, I was reading through 2 Corinthians about a year ago, and I don't know if you know this, but I think 2 Corinthians is probably pastor's, it's his book. And he preached not too long ago about the ministry of reconciliation. He preached that during, I believe it was March, was our outreach month, our ministry of reconciliation. Now, the Lord was just working on my heart about ministry. What is ministry? And, you know, I grew up in a pastor's home. Ministry, you know, I always thought of it as, you know, working at the church, you know. Maybe being full-time staff or being a pastor, being an assistant pastor. That's what I thought the ministry was, full-time ministry. We've heard that, have we not? Well, I was going through 2 Corinthians, and I heard pastor preach that message, and I've listened to it a couple times since, and it just, the ministry is for everybody. Amen. And I think Paul really makes that clear in 2 Corinthians. If you look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 1. Paul talks about the ministry here, and he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So what is the ministry? Well, in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7, Paul talks about it there as well. Verse number 6 of chapter 3. "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly hold the face of Moses, behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Our ministry, like Pastor said, is a ministry of reconciliation. Our ministry is to bring others to a saving knowledge of the truth. And it's just amazing that everybody is called to ministry. Everybody's called to this ministration, as Paul says, of reconciliation, of teaching the New Testament, of teaching the gospel to others. 1 Corinthians 5, we're just introducing this topic of the ministry. 2 Corinthians. Did I say 1 Corinthians? I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There's our ministry. Our ministry as saved, born-again Christians is to bring others to Christ. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because Paul takes this ministry very seriously. And he takes it very personally, which is something that we ought to do as well. We all know the Great Commission. In fact, let's turn there, Matthew chapter 28. I have it written down, but we're just going to go there. Matthew chapter 28. We call this the Great Commission. This is the commission that Christ gave His church. Matthew 28, verse number 19. Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So the commission is to go out and to teach, and obviously to see people saved, baptizing them, teaching them. But that's not just to the church. It is to His church, but we are His church. The church is made up of individual people. And in Matthew chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me, just introducing the ministry that we have. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 15. This is my daughter's favorite song right now. She can say two of the words. Light and no. Matthew 5, verses 15 and 16. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." This is the application. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, we ought to live in a way that others can see the difference that is made in us. I don't know about you. I'm different than I was. Praise the Lord. You probably wouldn't have liked me very much. I'm a lot different. People ought to see that difference in me. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that claim to be Christians, and they sure don't seem a whole lot different than the world. I would dare say that there are people in churches like ours today that claim to be Christians that go out and live in a way that people cannot see the light. Wow. The Bible says that we are set on a hill. We are as a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. You're going to be seen as a Christian. And it's our job to show the light, the difference, the gospel. Anyways, that wasn't in my notes. Matthew 22. We'll see here the personal responsibility. Personal responsibility of the ministry. Matthew 22, verse number 8. "Then saith he to his servants," this Jesus here is given a parable of a king, and he's having a wedding. And if you remember, the servants went out and invited people. And if you remember, they gave excuse. Remember the one, he said, I've just married, I can't make it. I just bought a piece of land and I need to go look at it. I just bought a cow, I need to go look at it. Right? Many excuses were given as to why people did not come to the wedding. I just want you to notice the servants here. The king, verse number 8 says, "Then saith he to his servants." This is very personal. "The wedding is ready, but they which are bidden, were bidden, were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." The interesting thing about the ministry that I found is that it's work. You know, I can go out and I can do a lot of work, and it can amount to about this much. I don't know if anybody has ever dug a trench or like a big hole, and you're a couple hours in and you're like, man, I haven't done anything. And on top of that, I made a big pile of dirt right next to the one that I'm digging a hole. Now I got to move the big pile of dirt. I mean, I guess it's just me and Brother Marksmeyer here. But sometimes I can go out and do physical labor and it amount to not very much. You know, I can go out and get paid to do something and my time is worth something. And yes, the labor may be worth something, but nothing compares to the work of ministry. Nothing compares to that. Because when I'm working as a servant, which is the definition of ministry, is work as of a servant. Man, number one, who am I serving? I'm serving the King of Kings. I'm serving God, the one who saved me, pulled me out of the mess that I was in. Ministry is work, but it's different than the work that we just go out and do day to day. We have an amazing master, amazing God. We have an amazing work. When we're serving the Lord, it does not return void. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been out door knocking before. And you knock on somebody's door and they open the door. And, "Hi, I'm from Calvary Baptist Church. My name is Jimmy. And this is Al," because that's usually who I'm with. And they're like, "Al? No, no, they don't do that." But they slam the door in your face. Or they're like, "Man, what are you doing?" So that's hard. It doesn't feel, I don't leave there feeling good. But it's my job to go to that door and try. So the work, even though I may have got the door slammed in my face, or maybe my coworker said some very mean things, it was worth something. The work of the ministry is always worth something. And Paul took it pretty serious. You see here, back in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're to the message. The intro is done. That only took 10 minutes. So have courage. Have courage. 2 Corinthians 6, we're back in our passage. Let's look at verse number 1. There's three things I want to notice, okay? I squeezed this in to the Baptist three-point outline, okay? I want you to know that. Don't let it fool you. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 1. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." I want you to notice the phrase that Paul uses, "workers together with him." We are workers, we're servants of Christ. This is amazing. This should be encouraging. When we are serving our Lord, we are working with him. Paul says, "We then as workers together with him," which is speaking about Christ, "beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." In verse number 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know what that means, I encourage you to get that settled tonight. That applies today just as much as it did when Paul was writing this. Now is the time. Now is the time of salvation. After the service tonight, we're going to have an invitation. And if you're not sure what that means, please come. We can help you. We can take the Word of God and show you what somebody showed us one time. Verse number 3, this is the crux of the message here. Paul says in verse number 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. First of all, I want to notice the seriousness of the ministry, the seriousness of the work that we do as servants of God. The ministry, bringing others to Christ, that is to be taken seriously. I'm afraid often, and I do this, that's not the first thing on my mind when I'm at work. And it's not the first thing on my mind when I go to the hardware store or Hobby Lobby for you ladies. Store gives me anxiety. Sadly, it's not the first thing I have on my mind. But really, it's the greatest calling that I have. If I'm taking it seriously, and I understand that it's the greatest calling I have, I'm going to take that serious, and I'm going to be focused on that. You know, it's a decision. Taking the ministry seriously is a decision. You know, the Holy Spirit, I believe, works. I believe that we run into people that I believe the Lord puts in our way. And the Holy Spirit may speak to us, and I may feel the need to give them a track, but I may be so busy looking at these screwdrivers or drill bits or whatever it is that I lose focus of my ministry. It's very easy to do, but the ministry is to be taken seriously. In verse number 3, Paul says, giving no offense. This is action. Paul says, I'm not going to make somebody else stumble. Now, that's pretty serious. The Bible says in Romans chapter 18 that no man will have an excuse when they stand before God. That's scary. But for somebody that's saved, I understand that unsaved, that lost person, they're not going to have an excuse when they stand before God, and I understand that. But I don't want to be the reason that they choose not to accept Christ. It's going to be on them, but at the end of the day, Paul is saying here, I am not going to be the reason that somebody says no. And any time that we're out and about, and we choose not to take our ministry seriously, we can be an offense. We can be the reason that somebody says no, or the reason that somebody doesn't get saved. That's pretty serious. That the ministry, verse number 3, be not blamed. Blamed is an interesting word. When I first started studying this, I was thinking, well, you know, blame like we talk about it today. I blame you for wrecking the car. But really, it means to discredit. To discredit. Paul took it so serious that he didn't want any reason for somebody, anything that he did, to be the reason that somebody could discredit the gospel, the ministry of reconciliation. It's very serious. What are some things maybe that we can do to discredit We are ministers. Would you agree? Ministers means servants. We're servants of God. Our work as servants is to bring others to Christ. The ministry of reconciliation. Well, what can I do that somebody can discredit what I'm saying? Well, something that happens often is discrediting God's word. We see that everywhere today. People not taking a stand on the King James Version as God's preserved word in the English language. That's a big deal. This is another one. Another gospel. To turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse number 6. There's one gospel. Amen? The Bible says that for there is salvation in none other. For there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's one way of salvation. The Bible says that that way is narrow. Few there be that find it. Galatians 1, verse number 6. I marvel, again, this is Paul here speaking, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse number 8, look at this, this is interesting. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Accursed. You know, that's how serious we ought to take this. I think this is, it's important to know the plan of salvation. If you're claiming to be a Christian, I'm just going to be honest, you probably need to know how you got there. You ought to be able to give an answer of what you are to somebody. I think it's important. You know, Satan has he's got a whole bag of tricks. And there's plenty of other church buildings out there that have services where they're preaching another gospel. They're preaching out of a book that is not God's preserved word. And you know what? Paul said that they are accursed. Some other ways that we can cause others to discredit is the way I act. That can cause somebody to not want what I have. You know, it's funny. I've heard a lot of testimonies. You know, I'm sure you have too. People that we work with, they say we're different. I think I'm normal. I'm just saying. But they say that we're different. And that's good. Because if we weren't, they would not be coming to us for advice. It makes it a whole lot easier to tell somebody that you better repent if I'm living like I should. If I go to work, and I say that a lot because that's my situation. I go to work every day, and I talk to people at work. I can't just shun people. You know, I have to be a testimony. I have to talk to the people I work with. But I do it differently than the way that they speak to me. And you know what? They catch on pretty quick. They stop cursing around you. They stop using vulgarity and you know, just... The world is so... It's rough. But they stop talking like that around you. Have you noticed that? If you haven't, there's something wrong, I think. I don't want to, in any way that I act, cause somebody to discredit what I have to tell them. The way I dress, that's a big one. I'm telling you, we ought not to dress like the world. We ought to look different. The things I listen to, I mean, you pull into the parking lot at work, blaring Where's Brother Daniel? The other day I was driving through Knob Noster, and he pulls up at the four-way stop blaring the Crumptons. Okay? You want to be a testimony? You do that. Okay? I just yelled out the window, amen. The things I listen to can really discredit what I have to tell somebody. The things I say, the way I talk to people, the people I hang around. I don't know about you, we have enough Christians that leave church and act like the world. We have enough of that. It is our ministry to leave here and be a light. I want you to notice, secondly, the sincerity of the minister. Verse number 3, we'll read that again. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I know I already said it, I'm going to say it again. Paul is saying, I don't want anything I do to be the reason that somebody discredits what I'm saying. Verse number 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. It's really interesting what that means. Approving ourselves. I studied that out. To approve myself as a minister is to represent God in a way that is worthy of notice. We're all ministers. Amen? Our ministry is to bring others to Christ. As we are ministering, we ought to conduct ourselves in a way that represents the gospel as worthy of notice. And that's a pretty big task. I don't know about you, I struggle with things. If I'm going out and representing the gospel as worthy of notice, I am being a sincere minister. When I say sincere, I just mean pure. We're not perfect. But we can conduct ourselves in a way that is pure. The sincerity of the minister. Look at go back one chapter. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 20. This kind of has the same idea. As a minister, I am a representative of Christ. Verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. As a minister, when you are ministering, when you are fulfilling the ministry that we are called to, you are in Christ's stead. You are an ambassador. I love that word. We're ambassadors. When we go out into the world, we are representing Christ. You may be the last person that somebody ever talks to about the gospel, about Christ. Every time you talk to a lost person, you are in Christ's stead, or you ought to be. That's a pretty heavy weight. I don't know about you. If I'm an ambassador of Christ, and I'm in His stead, man, that's pretty serious. We need to be pure, holy, righteous, and set apart as ministers. Unrighteous living, we can't do it, guys. We can't. The world needs us to be different more now. I don't want to say than ever, but it's important. The world needs to look in this building at these people, at us. They need to be able to look into our homes and see a difference. The world needs that. Number three, and lastly, I'm doing pretty good, is this topic of approving ourselves. Paul here gives a list of things, and it's about 20-something odd things. I'm not going to touch on all of these, because I think most of these are pretty self-explanatory, especially on Wednesday night. I think we understand a lot of what Paul is speaking about. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. There's a list here of about 10 things that Paul says, in these periods of time, approve yourself as a minister. Represent the gospel in a way that is worthy of notice. Notice the first thing, much patience. In is a preposition answering when. My dad's an English teacher. I just made him proud. Oh, man. A preposition answering when. In much patience. In times of waiting. The word patience means cheerful endurance. You know, there are times, periods of times that we are waiting. Most of the time, we're waiting on God. Waiting on others, waiting to know God's will, what He has for our lives. And, you know, that can be a time of, I kind of picture that as being, you know, it's pretty good, you know. Usually you're established somewhere, you have a job, you're just maybe waiting for something. You know, the good times, I find are hard because you forget. You look at the Israelites. The cycle of Israel repeated over and over again. They had good times. They were free. Nobody was against them. And then what did they do? They sinned. And they rejected God. What did God do? He sent them into bondage. Israel would repent. God would send a deliverer. Israel would be delivered. They were back to peace. Then they do it again. We do the same thing. Do we not? Maybe it's not as serious as rejecting God. But I know Pastor mentioned on Sunday night, the cycle that we go through as a Christian is the same. But in times of waiting, I find it's not necessarily always hard. Sometimes it's hard. But that can be very hard to not forget. In afflictions, Paul says periods of pressure, in afflictions, in necessities, in periods of need. There's a lot of people who need. I don't want to be negative, but you know, your dollar doesn't stretch as much as it used to. You used to be able to go to Walmart and buy like a Snickers, and I know I'm a young person, but I could go buy a Snickers bar for like 60 something cents. Now it's like $1.20 or something. I looked at the king size Reese's. I'm like, that was like a month of allowance. There you go. Oh, I'm young. I know. We need, but it's in those periods of need that we are to represent the gospel in a way that's worthy. In distresses, periods of calamity, great misfortune, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors. Labors means toil, hard labor, in watchings. You know, Paul spent, I imagine, a lot of sleepless nights, maybe worried about the church of Corinth, the other churches that he had ministered to. in fastings. Fasting is not fun. You know, during these hard times, we are to represent the gospel, to represent God as worthy of notice. Turn to 2 Corinthians 1. Paul was very familiar with hard times. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. That's a pretty good testimony. We ought to strive to have the same testimony when hard times come. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In Paul here is talking about the things he's gone through. In deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, and on and on. Paul went through some tough times. If there's anybody in here who has been through that much, please come talk to me, because I want to get some wisdom. But it's in these hard times that we're to be good representatives, good ambassadors for Christ. You know, I think Brother Danford, last time he was here, preached about this. He preached, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Can we have that testimony? If we're going through these things, and we're in these hard times, and we can't say that we're trusting in the grace of God to get us through, you know, I think that could be something that hurts us, and that may hurt others. Okay, in these periods of time, Paul says we are to be good representatives. Next is the preposition by. By is a preposition answering how. 2 Corinthians 6, back in our text. By. How are we to be good representatives? By pureness. We talked about that as sincerity. Being who you say you are. By knowledge. We ought to know if somebody comes to us, if somebody comes to you or comes to me, can you lead them to Christ? Can you do it without a Bible in your hand? By long-suffering. You know, about knowledge. The Bible says that we ought to know how to answer every man. I don't think we have to have an argument memorized for every possible thing that we can be confronted with. But we ought to be able to know where we can go. By knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness. I think we're a little short on that today. By the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you noticed this. By kindness. I'll just park there for just a minute. How hard is it to be kind to somebody? You know, customer service is not what it used to be. But you know what? Those waitresses and waiters and people that are helping you at the store, they deal with a lot of mean people. How hard is it for us to take a little effort and be kind to somebody? Just say, "How are you doing?" It's amazing to see how someone will open up to you when you just say, "How are you doing?" and actually care about what they're saying. We're really short on kindness. By the Holy Ghost. That's important. By the Holy Ghost. He's our comfort. Amen. We can depend on the Holy Spirit to help us. And we ought to. By love unfeigned. I think we're a little short on love too. True love is what that means. True, honest love. By the power of God. How many of us depend on the power of God? Truly. Depend upon the power of God to get us through something. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. And I know I'm going through these quick, but by righteousness on the right hand and on the left means that I'm righteous here and I'm righteous there. I'm righteous when I go to church and I'm going to sin, I'm going to mess up, but I don't act different at church than I do when I leave. I don't act different at church than I do at work. Righteousness on the right hand and the left. By honor and dishonor. Paul kind of changes direction here by talking about your circumstance. And using your circumstance to represent the gospel. You know, there are people that would dishonor what we do. There are people that want to see us stop what we do. In that dishonor, we can still be representatives of Christ. In fact, it's amazing to me when you read through Scripture, during hard times was when Christians were not the best, but they were good representatives. The church grew. You know, we have so many freedoms still today. By honor and dishonor, by evil report. There's evil reports. There's evil reports. I Googled Pastor Merrick. And there is an article by some Chicago newspaper about, and it mentions Pastor, and, you know, the world hates what we do here. The world will do anything to see what we do end in good report. We can be good testimonies. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what Knob Noster thinks about Calvary Baptist Church. Because what we're doing here is right. And he says, as unknown and yet well known. Just saying, for instance, unknown and yet known, as dying, behold, we live, as chastened, as deceivers and yet true. Now the world would call us liars. It's amazing. We have the truth. You know, we go through a lot of different periods in our life. Good times. We go through good times. You know, that's encouraging. I love good times. We go through hard times. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. We need to be good representatives of Christ. And it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. Because hard times are hard. It's called hard times. They're hard to get through. But if we can be good representatives through those times, wow, what a testimony. We need to let others see the difference. We need to be good representatives of Christ so that others notice and think that what we do, what we're talking about, is worthy of their time, worthy of their thought. Let's be good representatives. Amen. Would you stand with me? I have a verse of invitation. If you're here tonight and you don't know what reconciliation is, if you don't know what salvation is, We read in verse number 2 that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. I don't know how the Lord spoke to you, but if He did, let's get some things taken care of tonight. Come down to an old-fashioned altar. Speak to the Lord about what He's working on your heart. Let's pray.